time for this week's Friday panel, and a Friday panel with a distinctive Donegal flavour this week. Joining us are Cormac Meehan from Bundoran, a well-known travel agent and auctioneer, former president of the Irish Travel Agents Association. And in a couple of moments, we'll be joined by Matt Britton, well-known freelance photographer and reporter. For now, Cormac is on the line. Cormac, good morning to you. And thanks,
good morning,
thanks for joining us this morning. What's the mood like this morning, considering where we are? And
it's just, you know, I was in the newsagents earlier on, and you look at every news. I happen to scan the pages, the front pages, and it's about crisis in terms of COVID. It's about healthcare. It's about the pressure on the health services. And even as I speak to you, my news feed has come up to say that Austria is going into a complete lockdown.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Yeah, not good news. Yeah.
So, you know, it's very hard to keep our spirits up, but I think we're probably moving towards a more serious position in Ireland. I've been speaking to some people over the last 24 hours in terms of, say, events that are scheduled to happen in the coming weeks, particularly, say, even in the travel industry, where they are being sidelined because, in prudence, the organisers feel that they can't take that risk again and accept the level of cost that would be involved, both in human terms and in financial terms.
I'll come back to the travel aspect in a moment. Matt, you're welcome. I think you can hear us now all right. No, he's on mute. We'll come back to Matt. But just on the travel situation, Cormac, there was a degree of optimism, a lot of optimism in the industry in relation to, you know, people travelling abroad again and booking holidays for next year and so forth. Has that been dented by what's happened?
Yeah, well, certainly, Niall, if I can use that horrible word that we've come to use more frequently over the last 2 years, there was certainly a surge in travel. So there was a fair bit of demand there at the beginning through September and October. But in the past few weeks, and November is traditionally a quieter month because people have a lot on their plate. But there's definitely, even around the country, there's been a drop off because the situation is quite dynamic. It's changing as we speak. So that level, the market doesn't like uncertainty and people don't like uncertainty or risk.
Yeah, okay. Matt, you can hear us now. No, we're still trying to get to Matt. And as Cormac rightly says, Austria is now entering a full lockdown from Monday, following a surge over there in corona cases. 10 days, we're told, but of course it could end up being more than that, unfortunately. I don't want to ask you about your own company Christmas party, but what, I mean, you were talking about events being cancelled. What are your own views on Christmas parties? Again, without prying into your own particular company's plans, but what are your thoughts on gatherings and Christmas parties?
I can tell you now, my plans would be very modest. In my business, there's four of us, and we would manage to be socially distant most of our working day even. So, but on a broader level, I think that certainly on a personal level, I wouldn't be comfortable going into a crowded situation. Yeah. And I think I've made that decision myself, and I have declined invitations to events simply because I don't want to put myself or others at risk. But that is a personal stance. And one of the things that I mentioned this week in a vlog I was doing was the fact that I didn't want to see this vaccination apartheid starting up because it was going to be very divisive, you know, between people, the vaxxed and the non-vaxxed, or the people who have particular views about about what should happen or not, you know. So we have to be very careful where we go on these things.
We've talked about that before. Is that how you see it going? That there, we've talked about a two-tier society emerging, those who are vaccinated and those not vaccinated. Yep. You see that yourself, you do.
You can indeed. And there's a lady who has written this morning in the Irish Times from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. And she has cautioned against this, and she has proposed actually that there would be a vaccination cert or a COVID certificate that would indicate a negative position, so that at least everybody would have some sort of a certificate, and that could be used in terms of monitoring people. But, you know, what they tried to do in Austria was to quarantine the non-vaccinated for a specific period of time. Now, that quite plainly hasn't worked, and it did become divisive. So, I think we have to be just, again, as I say, very, very careful about how it's handled. And given what happened last Tuesday with the announcement by the government, they seem to have, you know, jumped into something without an awful lot of consideration. And there has to be a much more measured and considered approach in the strategy that they're going to adopt over the next, certainly between now and Christmas.
Right, OK. And just before we move on, I mean, again, one of the side issues, an important side issue, is the effects this is going to have or is having on our health services in general, and misdiagnosis and, you know, early intervention is not happening now because of the pressure the health services are under. It's a huge concern, isn't it?
It is, of course. I mean, one of the hallmarks of the Irish health system has always been waiting lists. And it's common to every health system in the world. But, you know, there are supposed to be 900,000 people on waiting lists in Ireland at the moment. And they figure that that's going to take 14 years to clear. So that's not a very bright picture for the health service. The argument is made, too, that perhaps clinic times should be extended. They should work at nights and weekends. But the Irish Medical Association are saying that there's quite simply not enough practitioners to do that, because there are 600 consultancy vacancies in the health system. So, you know, all these things conspire to create a backlog. And of course, there are people who are waiting for treatment, waiting for assessment, and who are just having a very difficult time. And it's again, very trying for them and their families. So again, all of these things tend to be tracked back to COVID and to the pressure on the system. But there was pressure on the system before ever COVID came along.
Right, OK. 071-911-8104 is our number to call. You can text or WhatsApp now to 083-3500-530. We have picture but no sound, I think, with Matt. We can see him, but we can't hear him at the moment. So we're working on that. And hopefully he'll be with us in a moment. Black Friday, of course, is upon us. Again, is there something you buy into, Black Friday, Cormac?
No, I remember we had a discussion about this about 12 months ago, Niall. And the tradition of Black Friday emerged because of the Thanksgiving holiday in the US. And it extended the weekend to 4 days. And the idea was that it would give the retailers a boost pre-Christmas. So that it was designed to increase the turnover. That's a legitimate motive. But my own feeling on Black Friday is that in the area that we live in, we have very good shopping towns from Sligo to Donegal Town, Bundoran, Ballyshannon, in the region. And I don't want to leave any towns out, but we're very well served with retailers. And I'm happy to go into any shop, and I know that I'd get as good a deal in some of the shops I go into any day of the week than I will on Black Friday. There's always scope for a little bit of discount. There's a personal touch, that's my take on it. And we're supporting local businesses as well.
All right, OK. Matt's on the phone line until we get a Zoom link sorted out. Matt, you're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. That's all right. Are you an advocate of Black Friday? Is it something you buy into, pardon the pun, or not? Or is there good value to be
in? To be quite honest, I see it as a major marketing sort of thing that has evolved over the last 20 years, itself. It now stretches, and you have Cyber Monday, which makes the weekend even longer, And I heard Cormac there saying where it originated. Obviously, it originated from the States, but it was Black Friday, because that was the day that business got out of the red and into the black.
Yeah.
But I really do see it as just this massive marketing thing to pop, and you're going to get similar prices afterwards. And as Cormac said, you will get, between the local discount and things like that, Sligo, Donegal, wherever, you're going to get that anyway.
Okay, a bit of sleight of hand, so on behalf of the businesses, you're saying, maybe.
I wouldn't go as far as calling it sleight of hand, but it's marketing. It's, I suppose, it's getting business in, and in the year that's in it, it's badly needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It is badly. And maybe it focuses people's minds if they need focusing that, it's time to get out and shop for Christmas. And maybe it is the case, considering what's happened, as in from today, people might be shopping a little bit earlier for Christmas, because there is that L word that nobody wants to consider or mention coming up to Christmas.
There is, and I mean, there's two things to it. Funny that I addressed that in a different matter, is that about shopping early, I think it would be a good idea for everybody, in the light of the present situation with COVID, to spread their shopping around. In other words, that you haven't got a queue on 2 days before Christmas outside Aldi, Lidl, Super Value, wherever. But if we spread it around now, it's going to ease the crowds in the event of not having a lockdown. You know what I mean? Spread it around.
Yeah,
no point in having queues again, as I say, outside EJ's in Sligo. Sorry for the plug.
No, absolutely. And your take on the restrictions and the new measures, Matt, has that knocked the stuffing out of you or not? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I think, you know, it's a cautious approach at the moment, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to end there. And I was quite surprised there. The journal, you know, the online magazine, ran a poll, and it wouldn't be regarded as a conservative outfit, the journal. And 62% of the people approved of it, with most saying that the restrictions didn't go far enough. Now, that amazed me. Totally amazed me. Because I would have felt that the opposite
You didn't think the approval rating would be that high, or people would be backing?
No, I did not. I did not. There were 62 in total said that either didn't go that high, or it should have gone further. And 30% didn't approve of them. And that figure did astound me. You know, that there was no massive appetite to have the nightclubs open, to have the pubs going on light and things like that. You know, it just wasn't there.
Well, just before we move on from that, Cormac, it's an interesting point. There is a suggestion that it's the public that are taking the lead on this occasion, as opposed to what happened last year. If you remember, we were being told what to do.
Exactly.
But it seems people are, I think Matt is probably right with those figures. Cormac, do you think people are voting with their feet?
I think they are. And what's happened over the last number of months, and from the very beginning with the COVID process and pandemic, there was a great sense at the beginning of people buying into being careful, being courteous to each other, being considerate of each other. And even from a government point of view, there was this combined approach and a collaborative approach with the people. Gradually, that relationship has, it's been broadened. And there's certainly a divide between, say, the administration, NPHET, and now the people. So, you know, I think the people have become a little bit angry. It was quite evident during the week in the Dáil that the spat between Micheál Martin and Alan Kelly, that was quite an ugly scene. And, you know, people are wearing them a bit thin. And I think Matt is absolutely right that when we sat down to listen to Micheál Martin last Tuesday evening, despite all the leaks being made earlier, we were quite underwhelmed in terms of the action that he was prepared to take. He was literally passing the ball back to everybody else and saying, look, okay, it's up to you now, and this is what you have to do. And, you know, shutting the pubs a little bit earlier, you know, 12, half 12, it does have an impact. But, I mean, there are much more serious measures that need to be considered. Like, in my position, I think that we've been weaned out of this system that the government had in with, for example, in supports. The hospitality industry is facing a dreadful few weeks and months ahead with the cancellation of events. And the financial supports have been effectively withdrawn. Micheál Martin said, for example, that there was a shortage of labour. There's a shortage of labour in hospitality because people left the sector to get employment elsewhere during COVID, and they can't be mucked around anymore.
Right, okay. This person, Thomas, says, agree fully with Cormac on what he says about the vaccine certs. He's absolutely right. Someone else says, people need to take responsibility for themselves, agree with the panel, or we'll be closed down over and over again. People need to be sensible. And more than one person wants to know your thoughts on that story which emerged yesterday evening and overnight, the antigen testing for our ministers and TDs, free antigen testing. And there's still confusion about this. It's not quite clear if they are going to get free antigen tests, but certainly yesterday they were offered them. Is that fair game, Matt, do you think, or not? Is there a free antigen test? The TDs?
No, well, that's not my reading of it, and it's not that I meant to defend the ministers or anything like that at all. There is seemingly free antigen testing for the staff at Leinster House, but not the elected representatives. I don't think any of our elected representatives are not in a position to pay 10 euro for a set, you know. I would like to mention it now, is that I've been quite vocal on the restrictions and things like that, and I'm getting amazing sort of response and people saying, oh, it's a Cinderella factor. How can you sort of not get COVID before 12 o'clock and get it after 12 o'clock? I think people actually don't really see the whole idea. It's to cut down people getting together in large crowds. And after 12 o'clock and you have drinking, people do sort of, you know, they become less constricted. You know, they're more open about it. And that's where the intermingling and the danger is.
Yeah, it's no more than, and we tend to forget this, was it 9 euro we had to spend in a pub?
Yeah, yeah, for the old chip, the fish and chips supper, yeah. Or the chicken and chips or something,
yeah.
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I get the argument you're making. Right, okay, let's go on to an aspect of the climate action plan that the government announced, the week before last, and in particular, the move, or their hope for move, that is it 500,000 people they want to be able to walk and cycle to work by 2030. It's going to be pretty difficult in Donegal, Cormac. We were making the point, and I'm sure you'd agree.
I think it is, Niall. We, you know, the infrastructure in Donegal is probably poorer than in most parts of the country. In addition to that, we have smaller population centres, so people tend to have to go to larger centres to their employment and to their places of work. And that's particularly, say, in Bundoran, people go to, say, Donegal Town or to Sligo. And, you know, walking or cycling isn't really an option. But on that alone, I mean, a couple of years ago, the government introduced a cycle to work scheme, and where people were given, a tax incentive for their employers to buy the bicycles for themselves. And the funny thing is, that was not available to the self-employed. So they were cut out of that completely.
I didn't realise that. Well, that's a form of discrimination, you know, in itself, is it?
Absolutely. I'm in the happy position that I don't have a major commute, and I do have the capacity to walk around. I think the message is to get people moving. The message that's come out of COP26 over the last couple of weeks has got people's backs up, because they're looking at their fossil fuels getting more expensive. There's 20% hike in the electricity prices in the north this morning. And, you know, like, you can't really sort of, you know, bumble people into the green agenda without telling them how to do it and how to cope with it first.
Matt, is that something you have strong opinions on? Well, I don't know if you are a cyclist on a regular basis, if you cycle to your work or various places of work.
No, I don't, to be honest with you, but I would agree totally with Cormac. And, you know, you have to bear in mind there are older people out there as well that are living in not totally rural areas, but semi-rural areas, that are not able to walk into the shops and places like that or other work, you know, just for different reasons. You know, the green agenda seemed to be taken over. We have to fill up our oil tank the whole lot, and you can see the difference. We can see it sort of when we're driving the whole lot. And at the same time, you know, it's just pushing the cost of living up in a big, big way. Now, I'd be totally conscious that there are dangers as far as global warming and stuff like that, but I'm not going to propose any solution, because it seems that they had difficulty in doing it in sort of both Rome and in Glasgow. And I think we have a long way to go, but we haven't a long way to go, unfortunately, as far as global warming.
Right, okay, I want to well, first of all, the lotto draw, I was reminded of this morning by somebody who texted in. I think it's just over, isn't it? 19 million the jackpot is, and it has been capped at that since last September. I don't know, Cormac, if you do the lotto on a regular basis, but I see this morning where one government TD, Bernard Durkin, who's a Fine Gael TD, he's now calling for an investigation into the draw, because there hasn't been a winner of the top jackpot in almost 6 months, which is interesting. I don't know what the implications are there. Do you do the lotto, or will you do the lotto?
Yeah, I do. No, I do. I mean, I'm not a gambler, but I suppose I am if I do the lotto. It's the only thing that I have a chance at, and I have to say, in over 20 years of it, I haven't got more than a 3 euro quick pick, and but I'm always scared, and this is the thing that gambling works on. I'm scared that if I miss it for a week, I will actually win it the week that I missed it. And, you know, so it's an insidious sort of an operation, really. I'm disappointed that there haven't been winners. And I've always felt that the prize was much too great. You know, even here in the States, yeah, about, you know, lotto winners getting something like several hundred million over a simple draw. And, you know, a million is an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
500,000 is a lot of money. You know, these are life-changing sums, and I always felt that the pot could be spread out a little bit better.
Yeah, so more prizes, yeah, for match fives or whatever, match four, yeah, or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Matt, do you do the lotto?
I would be exactly the same feeling as Cormac. I do it the odd time now, if I remember, but it's funny that Cormac said, when it reaches 19 million, you get to a stage, God, I better do it, you know, because there is that kind of fear, and it's an irrational fear that... Yeah. Oh, you know, God, I had those numbers, which I should have done it.
Yeah.
And we're afraid of missing out on it.
And you're afraid of, if you're asked to be in a syndicate, you're afraid not to be in the syndicate in case your colleagues win and you're left out.
Exactly. You're sitting this guy. But I think that's a very good idea. More prizes, but less, you know, 19 million. I think if I tried, I still wouldn't be able to do it, spend it.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Garth Brooks is coming to Ireland. I know damn all about this, I have to say. For five nights, is it next September? I won't be queuing up for tickets.
No, it's for two nights.
Was it two? All right, okay.
It's two so far. And, yeah. And tickets go on sale on Monday.
You sound like you're a keen fan, so Cormac.
No, I'll tell you what I love. I love music, and I think music is very, very important. And it brings people an awful lot of joy. And sometimes I think something like this will lift the mood of people. I would be more a fan of the Eagles than Garth Brooks.
Well, they're on the way as well, aren't they?
They're on the way in June. And I certainly would lash out €100 on a good ticket for the Aviva. I'm not sure I'd give it for Garth Brooks. Now, it's 2014 since he was last scheduled to play in Ireland. And I think there's still a bit of a hankering from the fans. I'm looking at the profile of the fans that are on the news these evenings, welcoming him to Ireland. And, yeah, you know, they've got very old looking in the space of 10 years.
You know, I was listening to that yesterday. And I mean, I won't say what it means to people is startling, but it certainly knocked me back yesterday, some of the interviews. There was one woman who named her son after Garth Brooks, and someone else says this was the day they had been waiting for 7 years.
Yeah.
No, maybe it's me that's missing out on such joy in life. I don't know. But the super fans, I think they're called, Cormac. Is that it?
Yeah. I'd be interested to hear Matt's view.
You a Garth Brooks fan, Matt?
I have no problem with him. You know, the guy's lyrics, some of them are very good and things like that. But I think there's two aspects to this dial as well. You know, the economic difference to that part of Dublin over those events is massive, and they've been stopped by planning objections and things like that in the past. The guy is going to fill, what is it, Croke Park? At least two nights, and possibly five nights. And just the week before, you've Edge here filling it for two nights as well, because the championship, it's not been used for the championship. And then if you look back to just last weekend, and we yet have to see the results of last weekend in relation to COVID, where you had 100,000 people in the Aviva. Now, I love those matches and enjoyed every minute of them, but I have to sort of say to myself, was this a wise decision in the middle of a COVID, sort of bad COVID outbreak? And we have to bear that in mind. As for Gareth himself, fair play to him if he can fit it five times, all the best to him.
Yeah, well, we would hope that we won't be in the situation next September that we find ourselves in this very week. I think the point Cormac makes about music in general and concerts is very important. But just as an aside before we move on, I remember being at an Eagles concert in Dublin. It's a long time ago now, Cormac. In fact, it was. I think it was it the RDS. It's a long time ago, and it was the farewell tour.
Yes,
and that must be 10 years or 12 years ago, and it was the farewell tour.
I was at that one as well, Niall, and they played actually in the O2 Stadium. What do you call that? The Point that used to be called. But since then, we've lost a couple of the members of the band, and just look at they're like a lot of these big acts, you know, they're going back because a lot of their music has been sold online or downloads, so they don't have the same revenue out of discs, hard disk sales, so they have to tour, you know. The farewell tour is pushing it a week.
They're not the only one. They're not the only one to market it like that. Here's an interesting question from a listener. They want to know, what are the panel's views on all those students that were packed into Galway City yesterday? Well, it wasn't just Galway. Apparently, it was Cork and it was Limerick as well. They were celebrating, from what I could gather, on National Radio yesterday. The students were celebrating Christmas Day themselves yesterday on a number of university campuses and in pubs in those towns. Is that a responsible matter? Is it just young people having a bit of well-deserved fun, do you think?
I suppose I'm not going to win any popularity contest over this one, but I think it is, to be honest. I think it's irresponsible. I've seen quite a bit of it. You know, we talk about restrictions. We have to ask ourselves, are the restrictions that we have even at the moment, are they being observed? Now, they are in most places. But, I mean, I have witnessed, I've seen them myself in other places that they are not, in parts of Donegal. And I think it's high time that we call the spade a spade. You know, this pandemic is not spreading. You know, there's nobody giving out. We are spreading it. We as a population are spreading it. It's not Sinn Féin. It's not Fianna Fáil. It's not Fine Gael. It's not the HSE. We are spreading the virus. Not intentionally, obviously, but we are not just observing the restrictions as we should be, in my opinion. And as I say, that is not going to be a popular statement, but like it or not, it's true.
Would you blame Cormac young people for going out and, you know, letting their hair down yesterday, Christmas Day, I think it was called?
Well, I mean, I know from my own university days, we had the famous Rag Weeks in Galway and Limerick, and you know, there was an element of the student group that were, you know, they were quite outrageous in what they did in terms of their recreation and celebrating during those weeks. And that still is the case, that you have a cohort of students who will take it and exploit the situation so that they will just go absolutely bananas for the day. But there has to be a way of communicating the, as Matt says, the sense of responsibility that they owe themselves and society in terms of how they behave, and that there are consequences to your behaviour. And that, as again Matt says, it's not just the students. I've seen it over the last number of weeks when the clubs opened up. Undoran, that had been very tranquil for nearly 18 months, was hooching at 4 o'clock in the morning last Saturday. You know, and it doesn't reflect well on people's responsibility or regard for the society which them affords them an opportunity to live, work and study.
Well, just picking up on that point, because somebody rang in to say they live near a pub in the region, and they can say that last night there were plenty on that premises, long, long after midnight, which is a new curfew time. Does the panel think we should have a hotline to report the publicans who are in breach of such regulations? Matt, you were the first person to suggest that. Do you think there should be the snitch line, I think it was called at one stage? Would you be in favour of that?
Well, I suppose as Irish people, none of us want to be, you know, perceived as the informer. But it's not just students, by the way. I must point that out.
Absolutely.
You know, it's and what happened yesterday, it's, you know, like the Donegal, whatever, Jersey there, or something like that. I don't know the answer to that. I would feel, if something was totally out of control and I was living near it, yes, I would say, lads, could you ever go down there and sort those people out? You know, we've done it in the past. If somebody was having a party there beside your house now and you're up all night, I'm sure you wouldn't hesitate in ringing the guards and sort to say, boys, I can't get any sleep here. You know, it's... But one of the things that... I don't know if it came up earlier when I couldn't get access to it there, is that, you see, the vaccination and the pass and all that has given an increased sense of confidence to a lot of the younger people. They think we're vaccinated, we're all right now, we can go out and do it and we can join in the crack and have the best of crack and things like that. And that is not the case, as you know.
Yeah, well, apparently the numbers, the COVID numbers between the ages of 19 and 24 have gone through the roof in the past week.
Yeah, and I would say that's because a lot of them are actually vaccinated. They have this false sense of security now that they can go out, they're safe. And as I say, we both know it, they're not safe.
Cormac, again, reporting those who were in breach of opening hours, is that something that should be encouraged or not?
I don't think that it should operate like that. I think over the lockdown, I've met publicans who were quite you know, thorough in terms of how they applied the regulations and so on. And as you say, if there is something that is if there's social disquiet sitting around me, I will certainly ring the guards. But I think the broader issue is that if there was, as was at the beginning of COVID, a greater Garda presence on the streets. And that happened in Galway a couple of weeks ago, where there were disturbances in Eyre Square over the Halloween period. And, you know, you see it on the continent yourself. If you go to Madrid or you go to Rome or anything, there tend to be mobile police units parked in the major squares. And they're there, you know, from sort of early evening to early the following morning. And they just stroll around. And, you know, it's not that they're doing anything to stop people doing things, but their very presence actually has an impact on people's behaviour, because they know that if you step out of line, you're going to be pulled up. Yeah. And we don't have the presence on the streets. You know, there are talks about Garda stations closing, rationalisation, lack of resources and so on and so forth. We had a very good presence when the Garda were doing community duties, you know, in the early part of COVID. And that seems to have vanished a little bit. And I think we have to get them back out in the street.
All right. OK. Matt Britton says, this person, what is wrong with the students in Galway having a bit of crack yesterday? What laws did they break? Asked this person. Someone else says, tell Matt it's not just the vaccinated students who think they're just OK, that they're vaccinated. There are plenty of adults acting the same. I have the vaccine. I can do what I want. And I think the panellists just made that very point a moment ago. And the students, someone else says, need to think about their parents and grandparents and their families at home, not just themselves. It's not about the student. It is the bigger picture. And we're not singling out students. We only brought it up in the context of a text there, who somebody who wanted to know specifically the reaction to yesterday's so-called Christmas Day among students at campuses across the country. Very finally, to both of you, in a word or in a line, Christmas decorations in November, for or against, Matt?
Against. I think it's far, far too early. You know, let's enjoy the moment when it comes up a week or two beforehand, you know. But again, it's down to commercialism, Niall. It's pure commercialism. Encourages people to get into the Christmas feeling, buy something. As I say, there are certain shops in this county and country that you go in to buy was a box of something and come out with a trolley full. So that's the problem.
Okay, what about yourself, Cormac? Would you put
we're
up?
We're not buying what we need. We're buying what we want.
Yeah, that's for sure. Cormac, would you put up Christmas, or have you put up Christmas decorations?
No, I just took down the Halloween ones last week, and I always think I don't like to think about putting up the Christmas decorations until probably the very beginning of December. And in my youth, it was always you didn't do anything until the 8th of December. Funny enough, I'd love to see the Christmas decorations hanging around up till Valentine's Day. And maybe that's a bit of a radical talk.
You don't mean that, Cormac, do you? I mean, that was an issue last year, I remember. Wasn't there a campaign to have the Christmas lights left
there
up?
There was. There certainly was, yeah.
You'd buy into that, would you? Or are you being...
You know something, I hate this idea of some people immediately after Christmas, you know, the turkey's hardly gone and they want to take the decorations down. I mean, you know, they took down the streetlights early in Bundoran last year and I thought it was an awful shame. You know, the place needs to be lit up and looking bright until at least the evenings get a little bit of a stretch in them. So anything that we can do to push that on is going to be good.